I'm your host, Matt Higgs, the FF Educator, joined by Anthony Corrente. Anthony, we are reacting live right after the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft. And I got to tell you, man, I expected chaos. I did not expect this much chaos.
It got out of hand. It got out of hand. What could there possibly be to react to?
The question is just like, where do you start? So essentially what we're going to do is we're going to go through every pick that got made tonight. We're going to go in order for how the players were selected. And by the way, we're going to be doing this all weekend long. We have a rotating cast coming through, but over the course of three episodes, day one, day two, day three, we will give reaction here on the Rookie Big Board to every single player that gets drafted because, well, that's just simply how we do it. But tonight, we start with Caleb Williams. You know, obviously we knew Caleb Williams was going number one overall, but one thing that I think is very helpful to this discussion is that as these players are getting drafted, I'm going through and updating them in the in the overall projection sheet, not just the rookie projection sheet, but the overall projection sheet. And when I put Caleb Williams in the projections, he's coming out right now as QB 11 for me. Him and Jaden Daniels are very close in terms of points per game. So I think they're both going to have really immediate production. But I have Caleb Williams, you know, nearly 4,300 passing yards, 26 touchdowns on the ground, 24 touchdowns through the air, 4 on the ground. So I think there's just immediate production on the horizon.
Yeah, I know we've all said it a bunch by this point, but like, doesn't get a whole lot better landing spot wise for a rookie quarterback. He's got now three good wide receivers there. They signed DeAndre Swift. It's really as good as it gets for Caleb. It's gonna be fun. It's a good spot to find himself in.
Yeah, Rome Odunze was the real icing on the cake there. So they'll be able to have, you know, Rome, DJ Moore on the outside, Keenan Allen in the slot. I mean, you simply could not ask for anything more. So we're going to talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. here in a second, but Caleb, comfortably still your 101.
Yeah, I think for me, comfortably still the 101. I wouldn't get mad if anybody, you know, wanted to take Marv 101. I get it, but Caleb for me is still pretty comfortably 101.
All right. Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Our guy goes second overall to the Washington Commanders. It's a pretty good projection here for Jaden Daniels. You know, I have him. Here's the bottom line. When it comes to Jaden Daniels, you're going to get the rushing floor, right? So that comes with floor and upside. I see 6 rushing touchdowns on the ground. I think we're looking at about 300 rushing yards. And then the question will be, you know, how much does Washington air it out? That's what I'm struggling with, is what's going to be that run pass balance. But I think we have the ability for Jaden Daniels to be somewhere in that 3,600 plus passing yard range. Does that feel too aggressive through the air in a Cliff Kingsbury offense, or am I kind of looking in the right spot?
I think that's about what you're hoping for. You know, like I think it's possible in Cliff's offense. I think it's possible, but I don't know. Is Jaden quarterback too?
For seasonal or overall?
Overall.
No, I don't think he is. Yeah. I don't think he is.
We'll get to him.
We'll get to the man of the hour. It's nothing against Jaden. It's just that JJ McCarthy landing spot is too good.
Yeah,
it's simply too good.
I think I think I probably won't end up with a ton of Jaden Daniels because the JJ McCarthy landing spot. I don't see like the value lining up for me good to get a lot of exposure. I think somebody will be probably willing to pull the trigger when I'm not on Jaden Daniels. But, you know, we kind of expected it at this point. A chalky start, but not a bad start at all.
No. Well, it was nice to get a little chalky start because things went off the rails. And I know we said we were going to go in order, but we already were talking about Jaden Daniels. And I think from this point on through the draft process here, we're going to be talking about Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy hand in hand, right? This is going to be the conversation, folks. We're telling you right now, you know, the conversation is going to be, do you love the quarterback that Matt has loved for 4 years? Or do you love the quarterback that Matt's loved for 2 years? And quite frankly, I think you have two good choices, but I have JJ McCarthy as my quarterback too right now. Now, granted, folks, we tweak projections. We tweak things over the course of the weekend, right? But as of right now at 12:06 in the morning on whatever day it is, it's JJ McCarthy for me. I mean, he's just going to distribute. I mean, we have Jordan Addison. We have Justin Jefferson. We have TJ Hawkinson. It doesn't take much to get JJ McCarthy to 4,300 passing yards. And I'm not even going heavy on the passing touchdowns, 21 passing touchdowns, but JJ McCarthy doesn't get talked about enough. He's always had a really good touchdown interception ratio. So I have a 3-1, 21-7 touchdown interception ratio and another 4 on the ground. He's super mobile, you know, 292 rushing yards. I know there's this narrative around JJ being raw. Like, he starts for week one for me. So I don't know. Am I just, is this take lock? Am I just locked in on this guy, Ian, or is this reasonable?
I don't think so. I like JJ McCarthy. I like JJ. I agree. I like JJ McCarthy more than Jaden Daniels because of the landing spot. And yeah, I don't think it's, I agree. They could, if they really want to, have the luxury of like, okay, we'll start Sam for a week or two. But I think that McCarthy can beat Sam Darnold in camp would be my prediction, assumption, whatever. The Vikings got to be happy though. You get them without having to go all the way up to 4, 5, 6, whatever it was.
Yeah, that was the talk the whole way leading up to the draft, right? The talk was, you know, you need to pay 11 plus 23, right?
Yeah.
Plus a future one. I mean, that's what everybody was talking about. And
yeah.
I mean, they ended up, it was just a late round pick swap with the Jets. They called the Giants bluff and they got away with it. And you have to think that Minnesota, among a couple other contenders, are the winners of night one. I mean, you walk away with JJ McCarthy and Dallas Turner. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's a good day. Good day at the office.
That's a very good day. A slightly not so good day for people who had, you know, Drake May as their, you know, that were holding out hope for Drake May. And this is a tough one for me because he goes to New England. It's not necessarily a surprise. And I think long term, it's not necessarily bad. Like, I still like Drake May. Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, he's sitting in the live updated rookie big board at 106. So it's not that I don't like Drake May, but he has fallen out of that top tier, which right now for me is Caleb, Marv, JJ, Jaden. And I think after that, we're going to hit a tier break where it's Malik, it's Drake, it's Bowers, and it's Rome. So it's still the top, you know, 108, which is what we went into draft night with. It just feels like there's a more pronounced difference between the top four and the next four. Am I reading that correctly?
I think that's how it'll get looked at. I will be drafting Drake May.
Yeah.
Let the record show I will be drafting Drake May. And I'm just going to, you know, got to be patient. Hope it's a little bit cheaper than it would have been otherwise. But yeah, I'm still very in on Drake May, the player.
What are we expecting for games played this season?
More than, I think it's probably in like the 8 to 10 range. Is what I would guess today.
I was going to say 13.
You think that many?
I just don't think
it could. It could be. Like, I don't think he's as raw either as, you know, people make out to be.
Right.
But just another, it's kind of in a way with less weapons overall than Minnesota. But from quarterback perspective, pretty similar. Like, they could afford to start Jacoby Brissett if they want to, and, you know, kind of take their time, which I think is good for both of them. But yeah, it wouldn't shock me if both May and McCarthy were out there sooner than later.
Yeah, I think for May, for me, and I think the Patriots too, it's not so much they don't think May could start. It's that they don't want to break him, right? You don't want to get those negative habits built up throwing to a receiving core that's not going to be able to get him there. You have to think they're going to still be on the phone on day two, trying to get Brandon Ayuk, right? Trying to add another weapon to this team and or drafting a wide receiver as well on day two, which we'll talk about it. There's still a few good ones left out there on the board, despite the fact that we had a lot of them drafted in round one. Starting, of course, with Marvin Harrison Jr., the Cardinals stick and pick. They were responsible this year. They they didn't get too cute. And we were talking in the rookie big board live chat, live hangout during the draft, just how many targets were appropriate to project for Marvin Harrison Jr. And you, I think you wanted me to go even higher, but I landed on 140 targets. Now, that's 25% of the Cardinals market share. So it's pretty hefty, but you correctly pointed out it's Trey McBride and then Michael Wilson. So, you know, I think with Marv, 1,300 receiving yards, 8 receiving touchdowns. And by the way, I know sometimes these numbers can seem really aggressive. Like, oh, it's a rookie. You think they're going to put up that much? When I'm doing my projections, I have historical rookie production data out there. I'm not doing anything that I feel is too outlandish compared to what we have examples from in the past. So at that spot, Ant, if he hits that projection, he's wide receiver 7. He's a first round dynasty pick for me right now.
Yeah, he pretty much has to be. I mean, we've seen Kyler feed Hopkins targets in the past. There is nobody else there besides Trey McBride. No disrespect, Michael Wilson. But he's going to get as many targets as he can handle. I think I said 150. In my heart, I thought 160.
Puka, really Puka just, was 160 last year.
You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility when you're talking about a player, the caliber, like the quality and caliber that Marvin Harrison Jr. is. You know what I mean? It's not, we're not penciling an okay player into good opportunity. We're penciling like a terrific prospect into terrific opportunity. He has to be a first round dynasty pick. Like, I mean, you're taking him at the back end of round one, you know, after however you want to stack him, Jefferson, Chase, Marv. Like, I don't know. You're taking him early. There's not a lot of receivers that are going to go before him.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Waddle, 141 targets as a rookie. I mentioned Puka, 160. Chase, 128. Justin Jefferson, 125. I believe Justin Jefferson, at least, was still, that was a 16-game season.
Yeah, I think so.
2020. 2021 may have also been a 16-game season, so it's right there. No, 2021 was not a 16-game season. I think that was the first 17 games. But you get the point. It's within the realm of possibility. A wide receiver who came out a little bit less positive is Malik Nabers. And this is a tricky one. And this is why projections can be really tough. Because on paper, you look at it and you say, all right, well, the Giants are drafting their X receiver, right? They haven't had the guy in a while. So let's load them up with targets and the numbers will work out just fine. But when you put Malik Nabers in the spreadsheet at 111 targets, which is, again, really high, even with a high catch percentage, like 67%, because he's got really nice hands, the limiting factor for Malik Nabers is going to be touchdown distribution, because there's just really not that many touchdowns to go around in a Daniel Jones passing attack, right? I mean, you're projecting Daniel Jones at most for like 22 passing touchdowns, which is just horrendous compared to most offenses, right? So Malik Nabers can dominate the touchdown share for the Giants and have 5 receiving touchdowns. It's a tricky spot to be in with a really talented wide receiver.
Until they draft Spencer Rattler.
There you go. That's my man. Brainwashed you properly.
No, I like the fit for Nabers and for the Giants, like from a team building perspective, but yeah, it's not it's not as fun in the immediate, you know, in the immediate gains as what we just said about Marvin Harrison Jr. It almost feels- just as terrific almost as a prospect as Marv, but you're not going to get that same early dividend.
You know, his you're absolutely right. And his rookie big board rating is pretty much right where it's an 8.0. It's right where JSN was this time last year. His current wide receiver overall projection is right on that 36 wide receiver 36 line. That's right where JSN was last year. And it just feels like in a very similar way, you're drafting Malik for a good rookie season and you're hoping that the situation improves in year two. The different factors, right? You know, quarterback versus, you know, a crowded wide receiver room, but in a very similar way, you're drafting good, hoping for great in the following year, which isn't a bad strategy.
Just have to see it through and be patient with it.
Yes, you have to be, you just have to understand what you're drafting. And I think the conversation's going to come down to, for a lot of folks, Malik Nabers versus Rome Odunze. And although Malik dropped a little bit from this landing spot and projection result for me, Rome didn't move. Either way, you know, I think this was just a really solid landing spot for Rome. He lands with the Bears. It is going to be a little bit crowded year one, but again, in a very similar way, you know, I think it's going to really open up for him in terms of volume in year two. And there is a clear role for him in this Bears offense, right?
Definitely. It should open up, like you said, in year two, but they are really similar situations, him and Nabers, that both kind of, you know, that I guess the difference with Rome is, at least with Rome, you're not banking on hopefully the quarterback situation gets better next year, right?
True. Like,
in theory, the quarterback situation should already be good. You're just hoping, okay, can he see some additional opportunity either in the absence of Keenan Allen and just like assumes a larger role there, even though they can, you know, all be out there at the same time now, which I think is appealing, you know, because you're still going to get some production out of Rome this season. And then if Allen's gone next year, then it could be wheels up.
Absolutely. All right. This is where, this is where the wheels fall off.
Give them what they came for.
This is where we're going to give you what you came for. But first, I would be remiss to not mention the ridiculous resources available over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. Folks, I'm reading, you know, I keep referencing the rookie big board, the updated rankings. They were updating the projections, the seasonal projections, the rookie rankings as we go, every single pick throughout the NFL draft week. And the updated 2024 rookie guide with over 115 pages will be available the Sunday after the NFL draft. It's timely, it's accurate, it's personalized insight. You have the Rookie Big Board Discord, all of that, just $5 a month. Folks, you gotta check it out. Now is the time. I'm telling you, you head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard. You will be ahead of your league mates, especially when it comes to just weird things that you got to think through. You got to figure out what to do with Michael Penix Jr. going 8th overall. So ridiculous draft capital, but to the Atlanta Falcons, I can't even put him in the spreadsheet because he's not going to play.
He will not play
for, for 2 years.
Hopefully. This is why none of it doesn't make any sense.
It's Jordan Love, but 20 picks earlier, and we're starting 2.5 years later.
It's just a crazy, and I get it. Like, okay, if you don't have a quarterback, you got to go get a quarterback. But like, it just feels like a misallocation of resources when you give $100 million guaranteed to a quarterback that you're praying is healthy to be your starting quarterback for the next few seasons, and then also turn around and spend the 8th overall pick on another quarterback, an older quarterback with a long injury history quarterback.
Yeah.
You're just hoping, you know, a couple of years from now, like, what's Michael Penix going to be a couple of years from now? 26 ish. Like,
he's 23.7. going into the draft.
So,
26.
25 turning 26 in a couple of years. 26
before I'll take an NFL snap as a starter. Maybe.
Yeah, hopefully, right? Like, or hopefully not. Like, maybe Kirk plays 3 years there, then what? It's right. Just a strange, like, and it's not even really like I hate Michael Penix the player. I like Michael Penix the player more than you do. I know
you
that.
Sure do.
It's a low bar. It's a low bar to clear. But
it's a low bar to clear.
But like, I'm not gonna draft him.
No.
Honestly, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to me. Like, I don't like to. I don't want to say I don't like to take quarterbacks in, you know, round two of rookie drafts in Superflex, because that's not the case. But this is just like a waste of a draft pick to me.
Yes.
I'm not going to take a quarterback in the middle of round two, in all likelihood, that you're hoping becomes a starter in 2 years to just take up a spot on my roster. That's not happening. That's
brother.
Not.
First off, you better trust your league mates. If you're drafting Michael Penix Jr., you better know these guys. You better know they're not going to fold the league.
Yeah.
That league, man, it might be gone by the time Michael Penix gets a shot at starting.
How do we chart that stat? The amount of leagues that fold where Michael Penix gets drafted. I need to track it somehow. Rookie Big Board exclusive statistic.
I don't know if that's hilarious or if it's just very late. What's great is this is just night one. Day two is the best of them. So the question you have to ask yourself, if you're going to draft Michael Penix Jr., right? Think about for the people who drafted Jordan Love, right? And right now, Jordan Love, I think, is a borderline dynasty QB1. So this isn't knocking on Jordan Love. But if you drafted Jordan Love in the second round 3 years ago, was that wait worth it? Some folks might say yes. But I think that's a lot of lost time. That's a lot of lost roster spot, a lot of lost value. And that's best case scenario, right? So if everything works out in 3 years, is having a QB1 worth using a probably early to mid second round pick, I would think, where there's going to be some really good value that's going to put immediate contribution into your lineup. I can't see myself having any Michael Penix. Now, to be fair, as Anthony mentioned, I wasn't going to anyways, but it's weird. In the last part of my rant on Atlanta, and this is more of an NFL take, but you know, you draft Drake London, then you draft Bijan Robinson, and then you pay Kirk Cousins $100 million. So you're all in. You're all in win now mode, and then you take a backup. Either be in now or play for the future. Like, don't put one foot in, one foot out. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And then last thing, not to pile on Penix, and some people want to draft him anyway, and I get it. But you know what the reason why, like, it doesn't even really make sense to draft Penix is because best case scenario, right, in the range of outcomes for Michael Penix, based on where he has just been drafted, and what you're hoping happens, the best case scenario is pretty much Jordan Love, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's as good as you can hope for. And it doesn't make sense to spend that mid-second round rookie pick now on, you know, Michael Penix this season, or it wasn't worth it for Jordan Love that season, because you can just draft the guy in startups a couple years from now when he's a total afterthought anyway. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm looking at a league that we did as a startup last year where I drafted Jordan Love in the eighth round of a startup.
Yeah.
He's not going to go there now, but point being, I agree. I would rather spend the second round rookie pick now on a receiver that will impact the game this year and next year, and even potentially past that, than hoping 2 years from now that Michael Penix Jr. is maybe going to be the starter.
I completely agree. Now, somebody who I will be drafting, who had almost as surprising of a landing spot, is Bo Nix. He goes to the Denver Broncos. He goes 12th overall. And Nix and Penix have been discussed together this entire draft process. I've been more of a Bo Nix guy all the way through. I like Nix. I like his decision-making. I like his accuracy. I like his underrated mobility. I like the fact he's going to be a starter right away. You know, I think Nix is going to end up here with potentially like a 111, 112 Superflex ADP. He's currently sitting there 13th on the rookie big board with just a couple guys above him who haven't gone off the board yet. It's not as terrible as a situation as it looks on paper. I mean, you have Marvin Mims, you have Cortland Sutton. You would like to see another receiver in there, but you have Javonte Williams, a balanced running game. So I don't like, are you going to be getting Bo Nix? Am I just talking myself into this?
I'm not even the biggest Bo Nix guy, but I'll probably be drafting Bo Nix because it's the spot where it works for me.
Right.
Like it's not as bad a landing spot as people want it. As people want it to be, right? And like, I think there's questions with Bo Nix, but I think landing in Denver with Sean Payton has the potential to mask some of what those questions are. I do agree that, you know, underrated mobility and like that he'll play, like he'll beat Jarrett Stidham and Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson out.
Definitely.
But I like made a living on a lot of like wide open deep shots and screens near the line of scrimmage. But I don't know. I think Sean Payton can scheme some of that stuff.
I was going to say, so. But Sean Payton, like it fits, it works, yeah, right?
Exactly. So I like the fit from that perspective. And I think you could do a lot worse than spend a late first on him.
At 6'2", though, he might be a little bit tall for a Sean Payton quarterback.
Right.
The quick, you know, a quick lightning round here, Brock Purdy or Bryce Young? Bo Nix or Bryce Young?
Uncomfortable Ooh. Line.
Right?
Bryce Young.
I don't know, man.
With little to no conviction.
It's so close. Brock Purdy or
that
Bo Nix?
That might be take lock.
Right?
Who was the second one?
Purdy or Nix?
Purdy. Easily for me.
Oh, easily? Really?
Yeah.
Jared Goff or Bo Nix?
Goff.
Okay. All right.
But those are two guys that I really like. So I don't know. I might be higher than consensus.
Stafford or Nix?
Nix because of age.
Those are the guys. Those are the guys that are around him in the rookie big board rating. All right. Let's continue moving down board. So after that. Oh, wait. Never mind. Oh, see, I tried to skip it, man.
Yeah.
I just
jumped out at you like a bad dream.
You know, you do some mock drafts. You do a lot of mock drafts and you have some fun. At first you have Brock Bowers going to the Chargers. Wouldn't that be fun? Ah, it's a little high. It's a little rich. How about the Jets? The Jets with Aaron Rodgers? He's not a real rookie. Aaron Rodgers will love him, right? He doesn't go to the Jets. And then in my head, and this is my fault, I said, man, let's just not have him go to the Broncos because the Colts are sitting there. The Bengals are sitting there and the Broncos get Bo Nix. And I say out loud again in the rookie big board hangout, hey, look, like we made it. Like Brock Bowers is going to go somewhere nice. And then he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. Gross. And I have to tell you, I think it's not that the Raiders are a bad landing spot. Right. It's just that there were good landing spots and they were right there. And also it's a little bit because I have a lot of Michael Mayer.
It has to be taken into account. It has absolutely nuked Michael Mayer shares across the globe.
It's not good, folks.
No.
It's not good because I was very high on Michael Mayer. And I think from what we saw from him, he did look very good last year.
Yeah, flashed.
So the positive is that Brock Bowers can be lined up in a lot of different positions. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a world when you look at the Vegas offense where you could see Brock Bowers taking 40, 50% of his snaps from the slot. I mean, legitimately, like he's 6'3", 243, and he's super athletic. He can line up in the slot. So I think there's a way, even if you're not playing in, even if you're not playing in 12 or 22 personnel, I think there's a way for Bowers and Mayer to be out on the field at the same time. But it's just, you can't make the numbers work to be excited about Michael Mayer at this point in time. It's It's tough.
Yeah, you only play the game with one ball. It's only one ball.
Now that would be...
People forget. But
we should pitch this.
The second ball?
Yeah, second ball.
Yeah, and require that they throw one of them to one of the tight ends on every play.
I'll tell you who could really benefit from passing two balls at one time. The Atlanta Falcons.
Really opens the game up. You know, like, yeah, you guys didn't account for us to play the second quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're going to have to get off Brock Bowers because it's going to be a full tilt. But my last comment is that he's currently tight end 7 in seasonal projections. It's a pretty good spot to be in.
Yeah, it stinks. It kills Mayer. And like, it's not as electric of a spot as it could have been for Bowers.
So we got a nice deep breath in the middle of the draft after getting 13 straight offensive players. We got a nice reprieve. And then we got back into the fantasy action at pick 23 with Brian Thomas Jr. He goes to the Jags, who traded back from 17. I thought the Jags did very well in night one to move back and still get Brian Thomas Jr. You know, fit wise, I think this is just a replacement of just a burial of Gabe Davis. You know, I think you put him along the outside. He doesn't quite play the Calvin Ridley role because I think Thomas is a little bit more attached to the sideline.
Right.
But for me, I like this for Brian Thomas. I like it more for Trevor Lawrence.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's fine for Brian Thomas. Like, it's a good landing spot, but I think it's better for Trevor Lawrence. To get another weapon in there. It's bad for Gabe Davis too. Like, stinks for Gabe Davis.
What is dead may never die. Gabe
Davis. That's true. He's ironborn.
You know, I have Brian Thomas right now, wide receiver 38. I think he's going to be one of these players who you're going to value just a little bit more in best ball. I think he's going to have some smash weeks. And he's going to have some not so smash weeks. So
it's going to be Mike Williams.
Yeah, that's a good.
It's going to be Mike Williams. Like, there's going to be games where he has 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. And there's going to be weeks he goes, you know, 3 for 12.
That's a real good comparison. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I've loved Williams the past few years as a best ball player for that reason. So I'll probably take a lot of Brian Thomas Jr., honestly, in rookie drafts. I'm curious where he'll go in rookie drafts.
That's what I was about to say. So right now he's 11 on the rookie big board.
Yeah.
I mean, 111, I feel pretty good taking him at 111.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can get him early round 2, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah, but I'd be happy taking him at the end of round 1.
Anywhere after that 108 tier break we talked about earlier, you're justified.
Yeah, like, agreed.
You can take Brian Thomas there. I think the guy who's probably going to be the most in demand in that 109 spot, based on just the reaction that I'm already seeing out there, is Xavier Worthy, who went to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, I tweeted out the meme of from Talladega Nights of, I just want to go fast. That's just Andy Reid is just, he just wants to go fast. He's Cal. It's exciting on paper. Another one of these where you really benefit. And I don't mean to sound condescending here because, like, just people don't do it. And I get it. Projection sheets are really hard to do. Like, there's a lot of effort that goes into them. But when you put Xavier Worthy into a projection sheet for Kansas City, it's still good. But I just want folks to temper their expectations a little bit. Like, we're talking about a wide receiver 3 projection for fantasy.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun to watch. Like,
yeah,
watch it unfold, but there will be a low level of consistency early on, would be my guess. It's a fun fit for sure, but some people are gonna way overdraft him, like way overdraft him.
Yeah,
make him another guy that's tough to acquire at a price that you're comfortable with, because some people will just connect the dots of, okay, fastest guy at the combine, Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, 105. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's Tyreek Hill.
Exactly. If you could take him, you know, that same Brian Thomas range, 111, yeah. 112, 110, whatever. Fine. Cool.
You're in a good spot.
I'm in.
I'll tell you who, like, the league winners from last year, the runners up, they made out well tonight, because I think that 111, 112 range is going to get pretty valuable.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost like a more clear, concise tier has begun there. Like, the players that are going to, that should be available there, are in like kind of fun spots.
Yes. Yeah.
Exciting.
The last note here about Xavier Worthy, and I just want folks to understand, like, if you didn't watch a lot of the Texas offense, I think my natural inclination thinking about Xavier Worthy's skill set is, you know, deep balls, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's going to win downfield, which can happen at times. But I do want to point out, Xavier Worthy was winning a lot more after the catch. He was getting a lot more targets in short and intermediate. And if you look at the way Pat Mahomes has been throwing in terms of his yards per completion the last couple of years, it just in terms of his overall attempts, I think there has been more in the short to intermediate game. And so my, you know, and Hollywood Brown is in this offense now, and I think he's going to be more of the deep threat. Mm-hmm. I think Xavier Worthy is coming in to be what Sky Moore wasn't, right? What Kadarius yeah, Toney wasn't.
That's fair.
I don't have a great down, like, yards per reception projection for Xavier Worthy. And it's not that he's not going to get deep field targets, like he will, but I just don't want folks to think that he is just that downfield speed type guy.
Yeah, that's fair. Makes sense.
All right. Two more wide receivers came off the board, and that's going to finish up our day one reactions here. One was super surprising. One was mildly surprising. And I've got to say, the rookie big board has been big fans of Slick Rick for a while now.
We stand.
Across the board, across the shows, we love Slick Rick. And he goes to San Francisco. In this one for me is super intriguing, because I think we're going to know in 24 to 36 hours if we love Ricky Pearsall or if we just kind of like Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, definitely. Because like on the surface, like you said, we love Slick Rick.
We love Slick Rick. It's a
fun fit, you know, Shanahan offense, good quarterback that can get him the ball there pretty consistently. But it will be like, it could go from, okay, good, fine, to if, you know, a day from now or before day two kicks off, we find out that San Fran traded one of Debo or Ayuk, and then it's, oh, baby, like Slick Rick is getting some targets.
Yeah.
But yeah, without that,
it either way.
Yeah. If they all stick around there, you know, it's another one of those. You'll probably get some production out of Ricky Pearsall this year, and maybe that clears up a little more next year for him, or improves a little more next year for him. If, you know, they don't get an Ayuk extension done or they trade Debo this offseason. I think taking Ricky Pearsall, the three of them won't be there long term. Like, somebody's gone in the not so distant future to me. Whether that's something as big as they trade Ayuk or whether it's a year from now they figure out a way to move on from Debo.
Yep.
But I like the fit, but yeah, like you said, we'll find out soon how excited we can get for 2024.
Exactly. So as it sits right now, he's 20th on the rookie big board, you know, which is a mid to late second round pick, which is good. Again, good. Like, you can put him right in the slot and he can play in this offense with the other two guys in the offense, but you move one of those guys out and we're going to bump up those projections, probably 40 targets worth at least. And then you're talking about somebody who's a really smash value at the top of the second round. So hang on, you know, to be decided, to be continued, I should say, on Ricky Pearsall. But either way, you know, if he does get more of a mid to late second ADP, it's a good opportunity and a good example of drafting the talent, right? And being able to, you know, see a path forward for him down the road. I feel like we should have finished on Slick Rick, because it was... It's more of a high note. Listen, we've talked about Xavier Leggett a lot. And I've talked about Xavier Leggett a lot because I came out of the gates hot on Xavier Leggett. I was very excited about him. And then I cooled. I got back up. And I think I finished a little bit more on the cooled. It was always going to be for me with Xavier Leggett about the landing spot. Is he going to be in a place where his offense can elevate him, can help him separate more consistently? And Carolina is just about the worst choice for Xavier Leggett specifically. More frustrating for me is I'm done with Bryce Young. I am, and it's not Young's fault. I think this is a great example of an organization just killing a prospect. But the fact that you have a young quarterback, pun intended, who struggled, right, with timing, who struggled with getting the ball to his receivers, what you want to do for that guy is to draft a wide receiver who can consistently separate.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after you went for Jonathan Mingo last year.
Yeah.
You don't have a first round pick this year. You have to trade back in to get to 32. And now you're giving Bryce Young, Jonathan Mingo, and Xavier Leggett. And I know they got Deontay Johnson, right? Which is good. Deontay Johnson's a good example of the type of receiver you want to get him.
Yeah.
But just, you know, this just reinforces one that David Tepper's got his fingers all over this. You know, Canales hasn't gotten any more control over this team than Matt Rhule did. It's just a big red flag for me. And I hate to be this negative because I like Bryce Young and I like Xavier Leggett, but these two combined, it's not going to work.
We knew that obviously they wanted a wide receiver, but you know, maybe if the move was for Ladd McConkey, you know,
yeah,
Slick Rick would have been somebody we would have liked there. You know, that's the type of guy. He goes a pick earlier, but yeah, Leggett is not. It feels compounded and made worse by the fact that you took Mingo last year.
Yeah,
that's unfair to Xavier Leggett, but it is what it is. You know,
you didn't learn your lesson.
Yeah, it stinks. I'm not interested in Xavier Leggett. It's just he's not. I wasn't really a huge fan before the landing spot. I had my concerns, so he's somebody I'll probably just steer clear of, let somebody else take the dice roll there. It's not worth the gamble for me.
I think you're right. So heading into day two, I got to tell you, day two is my favorite day. I love day two because it's just that perfect combination of pace. Everything's quicker. It's flying at you. But there's so much happening. And this is where ADP is really going to move around a ton. You know, I'm looking at Troy Franklin. That's my biggest guy that I'm watching. Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey. I think those are two guys I'm very excited to see. And then I'm excited to see where these running backs go off the board. I think we're going to get between 3 and 6 tomorrow. So we're going to have running backs that we're excited about. We may even have a running back or two that are pushing up into this 111, 112 range we're talking about. You know, who are the big guys that you're watching for tomorrow, Ant?
The remainder of this, like, tier of wide receiver for me, like Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, Franklin,
Mitchell.
Those three specifically, to see when the running backs start coming off and who running back one is, or I should say, to see how early Harbaugh takes Blake Corum.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, the running back run starting. Does Jatavion Sanders and Ben Sinat, do they get, you know, early day two capital and get some more tight end love?
Yeah.
We're going to get a ton of wide receivers. Like, round 2 and 3 feel like they're going to go absolutely bananas with wide receivers. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Day two is going to be fun.
Yeah. And of course, we're excited to see the New York Football Giants select Spencer Rattler.
Oh, write it in ink.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for our day one reactions. Again, I can't emphasize enough. Head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard. If you've been listening all the way through this draft process, you know, I think we're giving pretty good instant analysis, detailed stuff right here. It doesn't even scratch the surface of the type of personalized advice. Honestly, if nothing else, you want to have access to the on-the-clock channel in the Discord when rookie draft season comes. One, to help yourself for your rookie drafts, but honestly, it's just so fun. When I'm doing that channel, It's like I'm drafting 100 teams. I swear. It's so fun for me. And then, you know, we do, you know, one-on-one Zoom consolation calls. In the following year, I'm having patrons tell me about which picks they made because of the advice we gave and how much it helped them out. And so it's just, I'm telling you, if nothing else, you just want to enjoy that On the Clock channel. It's so, so much fun. It really enhances rookie draft season, both in terms of quality and a good time. Mm-hmm. Hey, but as always, we appreciate you checking out this episode of The Rookie Big Board.